Our scripture reading is in Matthew chapter 6, starting with verse 5, and I'm going to read through verse 18. Listen for the word of God. This is Jesus speaking. "And when you pray, you're not to be as the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners in order to be seen by people. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetitions as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. And whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance in order to be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you may not be seen fasting by people. But your Father, who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret, will repay you." May God give us ears and a heart that's willing to follow after the truth. There might have been a traffic problem in Jesus' day caused by too many people stopping on the street corners to pray, but that's not really an issue today. Rarely, if ever, do we see people pray in public. We have special times in which we pray, or at least we used to pray, before meetings or ball games and at public events, before our weak spines gave way to easily offended, selfish secularists who don't want God in the public sphere, and how easy the church has rolled over on that. Because really, we should be able to practice our faith as individuals and as a community without public sanction. We do not need government authority to do what God has called us to do. And yet we follow the lines and we keep within the rules. How would you feel if you started hearing people praying in public at Walmart, maybe on the aisle where there are remedies for sinus infections, and maybe if you heard somebody praying out loud and wonder what you would think, or what if instead of people on the highways yelling and screaming expletives at each other, what if you overheard people praying? Do you think that would catch your attention if you saw people assembled? Not for a special occasion, not for a meet me at the flagpole prayer like they have at school, or a courthouse pray for our nation prayer event, but just an ordinary day, someone stopping and praying. There's no indication that Jesus or the people of the time ever considered silent prayer. Silent prayer seems to be a result of silent reading. But until the end of the 7th century, written languages lacked spacing and notations to easily allow for silent reading. There weren't pauses between the letters. They were just run together. And people would read. It was very much an effort to read, and part of why people liked to be able to read, because it made them think they were smart. You would memorize it because you'd have to read it and add the spaces in between and to catch the words. And Hebrew is even worse because Hebrew is not only a continuous string of letters, they leave out the vowels. You have to fill those in yourself. So I don't think Jesus is saying don't ever pray in public and don't pray out loud. I think he's encouraging it, actually, for us to be people of prayer and not just silent prayer, but prayer out loud. Jesus gave three examples in this text of what not to do when praying. He said, don't pray just so other people will hear you. He's talking about your motives. He's talking about the hypocrites who would stand and thank God in the public treasury area of the temple about what great people they were and how they were glad that they weren't like other people or sinners. It reminds me of a friend of mine who said he overheard a preacher at a restaurant this past weekend talking to another man about how bad people in the world were and how sinful and wicked they were, and just went on and on in public talking about how rotten people were. And I don't think he ever heard a single word of the gospel, and nor did anybody listening in. Don't be like the hypocrites who pray just to be heard by others. And don't be like the Gentiles, Jesus said, and think that you're heard because you meaninglessly repeat yourself. He's not talking about the urgency that when you're something's on your heart and you're praying for it over and over. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the idea that you just had to put the time in to get God to hear you. It's not true. God says your Father knows what you need before you start praying. You don't have to beg. You don't have to go on and on and on and on pestering Him to get what you need. And don't publicize your fasting, Jesus says, and sort of implies that Christians ought to be fasting, that it ought to be part of our spiritual discipline to do without things, maybe food, maybe TV, to set aside time to pray and to do without. He said, don't publicize it. Don't let other people know. Don't go announcing it. Because what people would do to show that they were fasting is they would sometimes shave their head and they'd put ashes on their head and they would wear sackcloth. And he says, sure, do that. But after that, clean it up. Keep your fast. It's between you and God. Don't make it a public thing, because if you're doing it for public view, Jesus says you're getting all you're going to get out of it. And while we can and should examine each of these phrases, this example prayer that Jesus gives, and what it means, I kind of want to consider what he's saying about how to do prayer instead of just what we are to pray. And we could dissect each verse. We should pray for this or we should pray for that. But what is only part of the picture? Jesus is talking about how to pray. He's showing us how to pray. The examples he gives are not that they're praying wrong things. The examples he gives are they're praying the wrong way. And he says, instead, pray like this. And these are some of the things that stand out. He says, pray directly to God. You address God directly when you pray. You don't have to pray to Mary. You don't have to pray to a priest or a saint. You don't have to pray to someone else. You don't have to ask somebody to pray for you. That in Christ Jesus, you can pray directly to God. And that's mind-blowing if you think about it. The God of the universe invites you to pray and communicate directly with Him. The phrasing that Jesus uses, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and give us this day our, it seemed to indicate that Jesus is wanting the church to pray in unity. not necessarily in unison, but in unity of purpose. To be united in the things to matter. To realize that our prayers are not just a solo individual activity, but something in which you can join others in. How to pray, Jesus says, begins with first things first. And that, of course, is God. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So many times our lives are out of sorts because our priorities are out of sorts. Peanut mentioned his friend needing prayer. I don't believe that God goes around punishing people for every bad thing they do. But I do think that sometimes in our lives, we're suffering and struggling because we are not doing things in a way that God can support. And we struggle in that. And there's consequences of that. Because our priorities are not on God's priorities. Our priorities are on our appearance or our status or our financial security or our relationships or things that matter to us. And some of those trivial things and some of those important things, but they're never more important than God and His will. They're never more important than His kingdom. First things first, Jesus says, when you pray, keep your priorities straight. God, His holiness, His glory, and His will. And Jesus says very plainly, ask for the things that you need. When you pray, how you are to pray is to ask for the things that you need, knowing that God knows you need them. But it's good for us to ask. Give us this day our daily bread. Is asking God to supply you the things that you need for that day to do the things that God would have you do. Jesus says when we're to pray, part of how we're supposed to do it is to do for others what you want God to do for you. Jesus draws a direct connection between our prayers for forgiveness and God's extension of forgiveness to us. We want God to be gracious to us, do we not? We want God to be forgiving of us. We want God to be merciful. Jesus says, then be gracious to others. Be forgiving of them too, and be merciful. It's hard to be those things when you feel wronged and hurt. God says, do it anyway. And if you can accept it from Him, then trust me, you'll be better equipped to give it to others. Jesus says, when you pray, you're supposed to pray like this. You're supposed to have high expectations of God to help you. Deliver me from testing. Deliver me from temptation. Deliver me from the evil one. How many times do our prayers reflect a very pitiful understanding of God's goodness? How low are our expectations when there are things that we won't even mention to God because we just don't think God would be bothered by it or concerned with it? Or we think it's just too much for God. You know, that God helping us out with our bills might mean that God can't help somebody out with their bills either. We sort of pre-select our prayers, don't we, to make sure they line up with our good theology. Jesus says when you pray, be real. Expect things of God. Have high expectations of Him to help you, to extend grace to you, and to give you good things. If we practice praying like that, we would do well. Our prayers would be richer and stronger and no doubt more effective. And just to make sure we got it, Jesus reiterated one of the key elements of prayer, forgiveness. So He gives us a little model prayer of how to pray, and He comes back to this issue of forgiveness. Just to be sure we got it, Jesus talks some more about it. And what does He say? For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your heavenly Father will not forgive your transgressions. There's a correlation in our prayer. Things are tied together. It's not only between us and God, it's also between us and other beings, other human beings. Your prayers may be hindered if you just want a private one-on-one relationship with God without regard to how you treat other people. See, bitterness toward other people interferes with our relationship with God. Have you ever loved two people who were at odds with each other, even in conflict with one another, and you loved them both, but each would sort of bend your ear and try to tell you their side or talk about how bad the other person was or how they treated them? It's painful to hear negative or disrespectful words about someone you care about and love, is it not? So when you're hating on someone, don't expect God to join in and hate them too. He loves them and wants to forgive them. And that may be hard for you to swallow when you got a big chip on your shoulder, or when you have resentment and you feel entitled to revenge, or you want God to go get them. But God wants to forgive them. He wants to get them all right. He wants to get them into the kingdom. He wants to get them into the Spirit. He wants to get the Spirit into them. He wants to get them participating in what's right. And He does that through forgiveness. He may agree with you in calling them out for their behavior or their choice or their inaction. God may agree with you that what they've done is evil, but He's not going to condemn the sinner when He can forgive them. We experience that grace, and we're grateful. And what would it say about us if we were resentful that God forgave somebody else? One's translation I enjoy put it this way: for if you allow men their shortcomings, your heavenly Father will also allow you yours. And if you do not allow men theirs, neither will your Father allow you your shortcomings. Allow doesn't mean God's stamp of approval. Forgiveness doesn't mean that what was done wasn't wrong. It means that we accept it and we understand it. It means that we recognize their frailty and their shortcomings. How many times are our disappointments in others simply a product of our expectations of how they ought to act, or our expectations of how we ought to be treated? And then when people don't act the way we think they ought to act, we're offended. Or when they don't treat us like we think we ought to be treated, we're offended. How did Jesus respond when people didn't act toward Him like they should have acted? How did Jesus respond when people didn't treat Him like He deserved to be treated? Father, forgive them. I don't judge them. Don't call fire down from heaven on them, Andrew. Who doesn't want God to allow our shortcomings? Who resents God's mercy when it's extended to them? Who here doesn't need God to be better to us than we deserve? We are, after all, asking the perfect, holy, and righteous God Almighty to hear us practice our prayers. That's what you're doing when you pray. It's an encounter between the divine and the human. between the holy and the defiled. So we should extend it to other people too, recognizing that we're in the same boat as they are. Years ago, I was supervising a fellow who was practicing to become a therapist. His name was Shannon. And I sent him a referral from somebody that I knew. And I told him, I said, now, when you meet with her, you're going to want to try all your little theories and your little techniques, but that's not necessary, nor will it help. What you're going to do to help her is you're going to treat her with respect and dignity and understanding, and how you treat her is going to help her, not what you do. And every week he would come in, and that was the case he wanted to talk about, because he would have come up with a good theory and a good exercise for her to do, and he'd send her home with it and she wouldn't do it, and he'd be aggravated. Or he would tell me this therapeutic technique that he would try to do in session and how she would just pull the rug out from underneath it and it'd fall flat. And he would get so aggravated and frustrated that he wasn't able to use all these things he'd been getting in school to use. You know, all these facts that he knew and all these theories that he had, and I'd sort of listen to him. And I'd just remind him and I'd say, Shannon, you're helping her not by what you're doing to her. You're helping her by how you're treating her. And he couldn't get it. And after several weeks, he just came in and he was like, I can't do anything else. I can't. I said, is she wanting to quit? He's like, no, she comes back. She wants to come back. But there is not a single thing that I've done that's made any difference. And it went on and on like that. And he got to where he quit talking about it. And then one time I asked him, I said, so how's it going? He goes, well, she started taking her medicine for the depression. She's got a part-time job. She's setting better boundaries with her husband. They're doing things a little different there. And I'm like, great, that's good. And he's like, but she doesn't listen to a thing I said. And I said, Shannon, not everything that you do to help somebody is by telling them what, but by showing them how. In this teaching on prayer, Jesus is not just talking about what. He is showing us how. How to practice prayer. Amen.